Greetings and welcome back to to another and ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masechet Bava Batra, Daf Chavdala Amud Bet, looking at the seventh Mishnah, Mishnah Zion of the second Perek. We've seen shades of this Mishnah earlier, and referencing the last Mishnah, the later Mishnah in the Perek about the tree. But here we're talking about distancing a tree from the city by 25 amot, uvacharu v'shikma 50 ama. If it's a carob or a sycamore tree, it has to be 50 amot away, because of a different reason than the one we saw before about root damage. And that is a notion that the beauty of the city is to have an open space in front of the city. Aba sha'ul amar kol ilan suak 50 ama. Any deciduous tree is 50 amot. If the city was there first, then the fellow planted the tree. The fellow is forced to cut down the tree, and he's not paid. The scenario here is that the city is owned by one person. That fellow does not have to pay. If the tree was there first, then he can still be forced to cut down the tree, but he gets paid for it. If it's unclear which came first, he must cut down the tree, and he is not paid. Now, my Tama, what's the reason for not having trees there? Amar'ula mishum noi ha'ir, the beauty of the city. But don't we have a more basic reason? In the last Mishnah in Arachin, the ruling is that you cannot make an area that's designated to be a field into a migrash, an open area, and vice versa. So the area in front of the city is supposed to be open, you can't plant there. The answer is, in that Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer dissents and says, you may change the use of that area, as long as it's not for residents. So, but here, there is still a consideration of Noi Ha'ir, the beauty of the city, the aesthetics of the city, and there you can't do it. Even according to Rabbanan, you might argue that Noi Ha'ir is necessary, because Hani Miliz Ra'im, perhaps the prohibition in Arachin is only planting seeds. But trees may be planted in an area that was migrash. But here, Noi Ha'ir trumps that. Parenthetically, why would we say that seeds are different than trees? If you have an area, an open area, that's been enclosed for purposes of residence, and it's bigger than Beit Satayim, which is the Shi'ur of a Karpef, if it was planted, majority of it was planted with seeds, then it's like a garden, and you're not allowed to carry there on Shabbat. But if a majority of it was planted with trees, then it's like a yard, and it's a yard that's been enclosed, you have mu'urav, and therefore you can carry there. So you see that there is a distinction between planting seeds and planting trees. Now, the Mishnah said that if the city was there first, so the question that we ask here is, why in the case of a boor that we're going to see later on, we've already seen referenced, if someone plants a tree near a boor, it's cut down, but he gets paid, and here he doesn't get paid. So Rav Kahana made the statement, which really didn't seem to fit, which is that a partner's pot never gets too hot, never gets too cold. In other words, when something is a responsibility of several people, they all rely on the other guy to do it, and it doesn't get taken care of. And therefore here, each member of the city will say, I'm not going to pay first, let somebody else pay first, so therefore he can't collect. But the question is, umay kusha? But the whole question is not a question, because here in this case, you're damaging the public, therefore you don't get paid. In the case of a boor, you're hurting only one other person, so he has to pay you for your loss of the tree. Really, Rav Kahana's statement was going on the Seifa. In the case of the tree, if the tree was there first, you have to cut it down, but you get paid. Notice the order. First he cuts it down, then he gets paid. Why doesn't he argue, first you pay me, then I'll cut it down? The answer is because a pot owned by partners will never get too hot, never get too cold. In other words, everybody in the city will be saying, you pay first, you pay first. In the meantime, his tree is there, and it's ruining the beauty of the city. So he first cut it down, and then we'll get you the money. Safek zekadam, safek zekadam. We said at the end of the Mishnah that it's unclear which came first. Then kotzeitzvei non tundamim. He has to cut down the tree, but doesn't get paid. My shnami bor da amart lo yakutz. Why is this different than a boar? In the case of a boar, you said, if it's unclear which is there first, you don't cut it down. The tree is not cut down. The answer is hatam divadi lav the mekatzkai. The answer is, in the case of a boar, the tree is not for sure going to come down. If we knew the tree was there first, you don't have to cut it down. If we knew the boar was there first, you have to cut it down. So it's unclear that the tree really had to come down. So sfekarami lo min lekot. So in the case of a safek, we don't tell him to cut it down. Hacha divadi lav mekatzkai. But here in this case, what's the halacha? Regardless of which came first, you have to cut the tree down. So sfekanami amrin lekot. So in the case of a safek, it has to go down, because either way it has to go down. Then the only question is, why doesn't he get paid? Then we have the simple motzvich of the raya, that the tree guy has to prove that he was there first before he can get money. He can't do that because we have a safek, and therefore he doesn't get paid either. Okay, the next mishnah, marchikin et goren kavua, a regular granary, a set granary, which creates a nuisance and problem because of all the winnowing and all the chaff goes all over the place. So min ha'ir chamishama has to be 50 amot away from the city. Now lo yaseh adam goren kavua b'toch shelo, and again similar to the dovecote, you can't make one inside your own property unless you have 50 amot radius in every direction. And you have to distance yourself from another fellow's saplings and furrow enough to not cause damage. Now, does that mean some other smaller shear, as long as it doesn't cause damage, or does that mean chamishimah? We'll see. Maishta reisha, maishta sefer, the one immediately picks up on that and says, why in the reisha did you give 50 amot? And the second one, b'chdei shelo yazik. Abaya sefer atam legoren sheino kavu. Abaya says the sefer is referring to a temporary goren. So heichadam legoren sheino kavu, what's called a temporary goren? Anything we don't use a tool for winnowing, it's so small that you can just lay out the grain and the wind winnows on its own, so it's less damage. So that's a bias take, that the sefer really is not giving a shear of 50, just of znezek. Ravashi amar matam kamar. Ravashi says, no, the sefer is also 50, and it's explaining why 50. Why do you have to be 50 and more away? Kadesh shelo yazik. That's the whole point. So, meitevei marchikin goren kavu mina ir chamishim ama uchashim shmachik mina ir chamishim ama. Kach marchikin min tluav min kshuav min tiyotav min irosh achavar chamishim ama. So the Braita says that you have to set a goren kavu of 50 amot away from the city, like our Mishnah. And so just like you have to be distanced from the city, you have to be distanced from the other fellow's gourds and from his squash and from his saplings and from his furrow. 50 amot kedei shelo yazik. In other words, 50 amot is kedesh al yazik. Bishnam al avashi nechos, that fits perfectly al avashi. Al abaye kash, but abaye, who said kedesh al yazik means less than 50, and it's a subjective standard, difficult. And the answer is kasha, you're right. Abaye has difficulty with that. Bishnam mikshuav midluav, I understand why you have to distance yourself from his squash, etc. Dazo avkavat, to believe in matzvile, that the chaff flies out, and goes into the open area of the opening of these things and hurts it. I mean, Yeromai, why do you have to move away from the guy's furrow? Because it creates so much dung around there and so much waste area that it burns up an Israim that you later are going to plant there. Okay, the last Mishnah we look at, these are very smelly things and decomposing things. Nevelot and kivrot, so carcasses of animals and graves. Vetabursiki, a tannery. Minair chamshima. Numerous times we've seen that a tannery was a foul smelling place. Has to be 50 amot away. Meinosin bursiki al mizrachi. The bursiki can only be set up on the east side of the city because the westerly wind is not strong. That's the notion. Rekiva says you could set up in any direction except the east, the west side. And you have to be distance 50 amot. Unclear whether he means only on the west side, only on any other side you could make it as long as 50 amot, and the west side not at all. Or any side it could be close, and the west side must be 50 amot. Unclear, we'll see. This we saw earlier in the opening sugi of the parak. You have to distance the flax soaking vat from vegetables, and leeks from onions, and mustard from the bees. And Rabbi Yossi says the mustard and the bees can be near each other, and we saw that whole sugi why, and we'll see a repeat of it at the end of our piece. Now, Ibai Elohu. Question is, Rabbi Kiva, Echikam, what is Rabbi Kiva's position? L'chol ruach o'aseh l'somech? Can you set up the bursik in any direction, really close? Chutz m'ravah d'marachak nun amah v'oseh, except on the west side it has to be 50 amot. L'chol ruach o'aseh l'somech yikam shema, or does it mean 50 amot is in any other direction? Chutz m'ravah d'anoseh klal, but you can't set it up in the west even at all? So we have a braita that says it quite explicitly. Bekiva says you could set up a bursiki in any direction and set up 50 amot away. But on the west, you can't put it at all. Because that west wind is, that east wind coming from the west, should we say, is tadir. Now, what does that mean? Do you mean that there's always wind there? The four winds blow every day. And the north wind joins all of them. If not for the north wind, the world couldn't last for 1 hour. The southern wind is the harshest one. If it were not for this malach that looks like a hawk, that holds that wind up, Rashi says, with its wings, Machrevet Ta'olam, the south wind would destroy the world, Shinemar, Benatcha, Yavar Neitz, Yifros Kanafav L'Teman, so Elamai Tadira, so Tadira can't mean the west wind is the constant wind, Tadira B'Shechina, it means the Shechina is always there, and that's why we don't want to set up a foul smelly thing on the west side. Davin Shubin Levi, Bomen Achzik Tovala B'Teinu Shodiyu Makom Tfila, we should thank our ancestors that told us where the Makom Tfila is, Tichtiv, all of the heavenly hosts bow to you. And the notion is that that's the head, it's the sun and the moon, they all bow unto you, meaning towards the east. Right? So now, from the east. Matki fla Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Dilma ke'evich notel pras m'rabo. Maybe it's really from the east. It's like a servant who's walking away from his master. So Kasha, the fact that the sun rises in the east doesn't prove that Shekhinah is in the west. Rashaya Savar, Shekhinah b'chol makom. He disagreed. He said Shekhinah is not related to one location. It's everywhere. Rashaya Mai Dichti, Vatau Adonai Levadecha, Tasita, Tashamayim, etc. The opening part of that pasuk in Nehemiah. Shluchai Echloki Shluchai Basar Badam. Your agency or your tributaries are not like anybody else because any other agent goes back to where he was sent to when he finishes his agency. It's the place from where they were sent to that they come back. Do you send out lightning and it comes back and says, here I am? They go and they say, in other words, the agent goes and does something, and then when it finishes, where it is, it tells the Shechina it's done its job, meaning Shechina is everywhere. Rav Rabbi Shmuel saw our Shechina b'chol makom. Rabbi Shmuel agreed and said the Shechina is everywhere. Tanu Rabbi Shmuel minan Shechina b'chol makom. Shenamar hinei malach adorer yotzei malach acher yotzei likrato. This is in the seven visions of Zechariah on that one night on the 24th of Shvat, where he had a malach adorer who would explain what he saw. And in a couple of cases, the Malach HaDoverbi went out and greeted another Malach. But the Malach HaDoverbi went with him and went out and greeted another Malach, didn't come back. Acharav lo namar likrato. Malamei sheshechina b'chol makom. See, the Shechina is everywhere. V'yaf Rav Sheshet savar shechina b'chol makom. Don't let Rav Sheshet l'shamer. Rav Sheshet also held it's everywhere. Rav Sheshet told his servant, l'chol ruch ta ukman levar mizrach. He said, set me up in any direction to daven except for the east, not because the Shechina is not there, but rather because the Avodah Zarah people go in that direction, I don't want to be facing them. But in other words, he said, Shechina is in every direction, I could face in any direction. Rabbi Avahu Amar Shechina Ma'arav. Rabbi Avahu took that same first position, that Shechina is in the west, like Rabbi Shimon Levi said, Avahu Mai Uriah Avir Yah. Rashi says that he heard that in Persian they call the east, Uriah. Why is it called that? Because Avir, yeah, that's the direction. If you're standing in the east and you're facing the west, that's your facing direction towards the Shechina. If you're in my dichtiv, you're off kamatar likhi. The pasuk at the beginning of Ha'azinu, that my words should come down like rain. This is the western wind, which comes from the strong part of the world, from the west, where the Shechina is. Tizal katali marti, my word should flow like dew. Zurach tzvonin shema zelat et zahav. This is the northern wind, which heats up the world, and that generates gold. Now the rest of the pasuk in your Hazinu kisarim alei dasha, like the wind on the grass. Zurach mizrachit shemaseret et kol am kisair. This is the eastern wind that shakes up the whole world like a sair. Here comes sirim yekdusham, like a shade. Chavivim alei esev zurach dromichi maala revivim magadel ad asavim. This is the southern wind, which raises up all sorts of things and makes things grow. It's the southern wind that we said before was the harshest. Tanur Belazar Omer, Olam. That the world is like a portico of ruach tzvanit enam misubevet, and the northern wind does not come around like the other winds, right? V'kevan shigia chama etzel karen maravit tzvanit, when the sun reaches the northwest corner, nichfefet v'olel l'mal menorkiyat, it goes above the sky. This, of course, is astronomy that we're not familiar with. V'shomer olam l'kubahu domeh, the world is like a square, like a cube, of ruach tzvanit misubevet. The northern wind is what goes around. When it comes to that same northwest corner, it goes behind the kippah. We studied about this in Psachim Tzadalad. From Holech Darom Sovev El Tzafon, invokes the pasuk in Kohelet. Holech El Darom Bayom Sovev El Tzafon Balayla. So it goes back during the night behind. So Sovev Holech Haruach Ve'al Tzvotav Shav Haruach. That's the rest of the pasuk. Elu Pnei Mizrach Pnei Rav. That's the eastern and western sky. Sometimes it goes in front of it, sometimes it goes behind it. The supports of Eliezer in Acheder Tavos Sufa, the wind comes from Acheder, Zurach Dromit. This is the southern wind, the big, strong wind. Mizraim Kara, Zurach Tzvonit. So the northern wind. Minishmat El Yitain Karach, Zurach Maravit, Verocha Maim Mutzak, Zurach Mizrachit. Another time interpreting a pasuk in wisdom literature is referring to all four winds. Didn't we just say that the southern wind makes things grow? It's a good thing. So lokasha, that's if the rain comes gently. If it comes as a storm, then it's not good. Gold comes from the north. This we had earlier. This is the northern wind that heats up the world and kind of cooks the gold. The southern wind did not take form. That God decreed that the right, which is the south, should be starving. It says you created the north and the south. The rain doesn't come from God's good fortune house, treasure house. And this is in the Brachan Kitavo. When Am Yisrael is securely in the land and they're doing God's will, then the treasure house comes out with the good rain. When if they're not, then they don't come from there. The rain that we see is from elsewhere. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Arotze Shiachkim Yadrim. If somebody wants to become wise, he should go to the south. There's two interpretations. One is the direction he sleeps, one is the direction that he davens. Shiashir Yatspin. To be wealthy, he should face north. V'simonecha Shulchan Metzafon Umunar Abedaram. The easiest way to remember this is that the Shulchan in the Mikdash, which represented wealth, was on the south side, and the menorah, which represents wisdom, is on the north side. On the south side. The Shulchan's on the north. Rabbi Shimon Levi Amar Leolam Yadrim. You should always face south, meaning you face the direction of Shalom, but slightly south. Toch Shemitchakem Itasher. So you'll be wise because you face south, and you'll be wise enough to become wealthy. Shinamar Orchem Bimina Bismala Osher B'Chavod. The Torah gives you long life and gives you wealth. Rabbi Shua ben Levi Amar Shechina B'Marav. But didn't we start this whole sugya of Shua ben Levi telling us the Shechina is in the west side? Can you face east if it's south? And it's not, it's 2 days. So you face east, or face the Shechina, that is, which would be west, really, but you face with a little bit, point a little bit south. But you guys live in the north of Eretz Yisrael, in Bavel. Adrimu Adruma, you have to face south in any case. Who says Bavel is north of Eretz Yisrael? And the prophecy of Yirmiyahu, that evil will come from the north, as seen by the bubbling pot from the north. Alright, even though on a map you take a look at Bavel and it's chiefly east, it's northeast of Eretz Yisrael, it's east-northeast, really it's considered north because of the travel routes. Okay, the end of the Mishnah was the Machloket Rabbi Yossi and Chachamim about the bees. Why does Rabbi Yossi say you could keep your mustard there? You're telling me to move my mustard away from your bees? Move your bees away from my mustard. Because they come and eat the seeds of my mustard. And we discussed that at length in the first sugya. All right, everybody should have a wonderful day. We'll pick up with the next Mishnah in the next podcast.